Hi, welcome to Paulton Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Chris Artis. He's the Executive Director of Energy Solutions at Maxim, and today we're going to talk about the Internet of Things and the smart grid. So hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me.
Oh, the pleasure is ours. In fact, I really am glad to have you because I need as many people on board to talk about the Internet of Things and the smart grid as humanly possible, because there's like an elephant in the blind man thing going on. Everybody's looking very intently, but they're only really seeing it from their perspective, and I'd like to hear your perspective.
All right, that sounds good. So in my mind, smart grid and Internet of Things are actually one and the same. I see the smart grid as actually an expression of the Internet of Things that's really just starting out today, and we're starting to see it in terms of connected distribution automation, connected smart meters and things like that, especially here in the U.S. where we're about halfway rolled out with smart meters. But in my mind, that's really just kind of tapping the surface, touching the surface of what the idea of the Internet of Things can bring to how we manage power as a planet.
Well, and that makes a lot of sense, because any tool used well can go a lot farther than its initial intent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what the tools that are being laid out today in terms of communication networks, in terms of smarter measurement at the household, really just kind of, you know, the reason I say they scratch the surface is because the best way for us to change the behavior of us as energy consumers is to actually provide us with measurement data, and to actually take that measurement data that today is just happening in the smart meter, take it down a level, put it inside the house, put it inside a building, and actually have smart systems that can communicate with each other, try to
and use that data
using energy. Exactly. Use that data either just for informing, you know, me as a consumer, where am I spending my money, how much does it cost for my kids to watch a movie on the Blu-ray player, or maybe I've got smarter systems that figure out when I can turn off lights because there's nobody moving around, or take that to like an industrial warehouse or something like that. How can you manage the temperature? How can you manage the lights based on time of day, based on usage of equipment, things like that? You've got smart systems now starting to make decisions about your power consumption.
Right. And not only that, though, Chris, if you think about it, it also allows you for a lot more multifaceted applications, because that same detector determine whether or not someone's in the room or not could also determine in, say, an assisted living facility, if the person hasn't moved for a few minutes, maybe it's time to call security.
Yeah, absolutely. I think once you've got that infrastructure in the house or in your facility to do things like, you know, smart energy measurement, management, you know, sensing of people in the room or temperature, things like that, you've got a network there for people to introduce a whole lot of new services to that network. And, you know, that the sum of us is certainly smarter than just a couple of us talking about the ideas here. So you're going to see applications you've never dreamed of once these networks are installed and out there.
That's what I love about the creative community.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to when I am offered services that will run on my home area network that will surprise me and hopefully make my life a little bit better.
There you go. Well, that's going to be the case. Some of them will be very nice, and some of them won't be very nice, but there'll be a lot of things out there that'll definitely raise some eyebrows. Now, having said all of that, what are the challenges to the designer? Let's say, you know, I'm really hearing all of this Internet of Things and smart grid. Should I just go run out and buy a bunch of chips and start throwing them into stuff?
I'd say that, you know, and I'm thinking of this, again, from a smart grid perspective, I'd say that the biggest challenge that engineer has in building a device for that next layer, that consumer-type layer of the Internet of Things, is how to make something that is cost-effective while also doing kind of the three key things or implementing the three key technologies that the Internet of Things is going to need: measuring accurately, communicating the data, and doing so securely. And so I think doing those, you know, implementing those three technologies in a standardized way at an efficient cost that makes the ROI for these types of things make sense, I think that's the key challenge.
Well, and I agree with you completely, Chris. You're right there, because you could literally animate or connect every light bulb, every blade of grass or whatever, but unless it's worth the effort, it's just engineering onanism.
Yeah, and one key thing there is if it's not worth the effort, then, obviously it doesn't make a lot of sense but if it is, to implement. But if it is worth the effort, then you start to think about security risks. If it's worth the effort for me to monitor my power or control how things turn on and off, is it then potentially worth it to an attacker to control those things from the outside as well, whether it's just to inconvenience me as a hacker or whether it's to try to take down an industrial warehouse because, they don't like the company or they want to cause some damage there.
Right. So from pranksters to actual industrial malfeasance.
Exactly. And even beyond, if you think about, these things are all connected to the grid, to the electric grid that gives us all power, then you can think about a lot worse attacks and potential attackers. Certainly there's countries that don't like each other or big organizations that don't like the way the rest of the world runs, and you can see them as being potential threats as well.
This is also true, but then that's also the reason why there's a debate going on right now between should we use Zigbee, should we use Wi-Fi, should we use proprietary protocols, should there be an extra layer for security? There's a lot going on in that space as well.
There is, and there's certainly plenty of discussion on how you can secure the communication pipe. What you don't see a lot of discussion on is the security of the embedded device itself. If you think about two devices talking to each other, let's take a smart meter and the head end at the utility. Whether the communication is wireless or whether it's power line or something like that, as long as that's encrypted and the protocol is okay, then you're providing a pretty decent level of security. Now, there's a lot of questions to be answered there in terms of which protocol, exactly how you do key exchanges and things like that. But the big thing that's not really being addressed today is, what about if I just look at that smart meter? Can I find another way into that thing? Can I go in through a serial port? Can I reprogram it? Can I try to take control of that device somehow else to actually then take control of a larger network or put bad data on the larger network and make the system make poor decisions? So that's kind of the perspective Maxim comes at it from is, how do we secure the life cycle of these embedded nodes of the Internet of Things, whether it's a smart meter, or a smart plug, lighting control, things like that.
Gotcha, Chris. So then how is this manifested in Maxim product?
So one of the key things that we can offer, first of all, we provide a lot of what I'd call security tools. These things like a true random number generator. The random numbers are critically important in any kind of security operation, whether to generate keys or generate padding, to make the communication and the encryption non-repetitive. We offer a lot of advanced encryption hardware acceleration as well for things like elliptic curve or AES, pretty advanced stuff. That's kind of the base layer, but then we offer other things like secure boot loading on our devices, so that the idea is if I ship a chip to a contract manufacturer or to a company or to whoever, that it can be locked so that only the recipient can actually load their code on it. And then throughout the life cycle of the device, you make sure that that secure bootloader protects that code from being changed in an unauthorized way or being even sucked out. And so we've got a lot of technology in that space. We've actually been in the security space for over 20 years, selling stuff into credit card terminals and ATMs, and we're taking that technology into our energy products.
Got you. So, Chris, what other support do you offer if I want to import your technology into my solution? You have reference designs, engineers standing by on the phones, that kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. We actually do a number of reference designs around energy measurement, whether it's an EV kit or reference board that looks exactly like a smart meter for a certain region of the world, or whether it's something like a smart plug or an LED controller. We've got a number of reference designs that show our customers how to integrate energy measurement technology into those applications. In some cases, even how to add our security products to those technologies. We've got a smart meter reference platform that has our power line communication, has a secure coprocessor, and has our measurement solution on there. So it's kind of a kickstart to for all three of those technologies.
Very nice, Chris. Now, before we close out the episode, do you have any last thoughts for the audience?
I think that, thinking about the Internet of Things, I think one of the things that we may miss as an opportunity here is actually security. you know, I think we've got technology today to do things like enable smart measurement all over our house. But what we're really missing is how do we make sure that all of those points are secured? And that's something that's got to be thought of in advance on all these applications. Security is pretty hard to add in after the fact, after the design's already started. And so the thing I'd say is, you know, when you're starting a new project, to certainly think about what are the possible ways that somebody could attack this thing. That's what, you know, security professionals will do looking at an application. Think about what are the potential threats when this thing's sitting in a warehouse, when it's on a truck, when it's actually deployed. What about after it's deployed? What about after it comes back and it's in a scrap heap somewhere? What are the security threats there? If you start to think about those things, you can actually plan them out in advance and say, well, I can address this one. This one's too expensive to address, and make your own kind of cost trade-off decisions. But at least you're thinking about it beforehand, which is a lot better than thinking about it after the design's done and trying to wrap something around it later.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely understand there, Chris. I was electronic warfare myself in the service. So you think about all kinds of electronic holes, both passive and active, that can be exploited. You really do have to think of it from, especially nowadays, because it could be somebody who's just malicious without any reason to be malicious other than just to have the credit for trashing somebody's system.
Yep, absolutely. The threats are out there, and the bigger your success, the more threatened you're going to be.
Well, there you go. Well, on that cheerful note, I'd just like to thank you, Chris, for taking the time. We could go on for hours, so I'm going to ask you to come back so we can continue to talk about this. But unfortunately for now, I'm going to have to let you go. But thank you so much for being on the show.
No problem. Thank you, Alex.
Oh, the pleasure is mine. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Paul for Paul on Power. Have a great day.